night tonight because we are starting a brand new topic, totally new topic, a fresh beginning, and this topic should take us probably about 3 weeks, because it's going to be two parts of the topic, the smaller topic. The topic we're going to talk about tonight is Topher, which is the opposite of Korea. Topher is not Sofer like a scribe, but Topher with a tuff, not a test either. Topher is sewing, S-E-W-I-N-G, sewing on Shabbos. So I think we all are fully aware that you can't sew on Shabbos, but we're going to find a lot of very, very practical applications of the melach of Topher on Shabbos. First of all, where did Topher happen? In the Mishkan. That's how we have to start with the melacha, of course. And before we do that, I want to just set something, the information that we have in our minds already, I want to put it in boxes a little bit. The Mishnah that talks about the 39 melachos of Shabbos does it in a user-friendly way. It breaks up into sections. The 39 melachos, the first 11 are called Sidur de Pas, the Seder of making bread. And that is, the first 11 melachos have to do with everything that you need in terms of planting, in terms of growing, in terms of harvesting, in terms of grinding, in terms of all the way till baking. That's the first 11 melachos. Of those, we learn Borer. That's when they had to select the kernels from the pebbles that they got mixed up with. We learned Tochei, which is grinding into flour. We learned Bishul, which is baking the bread. That we've learned in the past. After that, the Mishnah shifts to another section of about 8 or 10, and that's already going to hit, you know, over the 20 point mark, the 50% mark, which is over 20 malachas, is all the malachas that relate to fabric production. And how do you get wool? You take wool, first you have to shear it off the back of the sheep, and then you have to prepare the wool and turn it to threads and put it on a loom and a whole bunch of things with the looms that we're never going to talk about ever. And then talk about tying and untying and sewing and ripping. So that's what we're going to talk about now. That's the context for tonight. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, shakol mi'eved v'ra'ah. So, question number one is, where was there sewing in the Mishkan? Where was there sewing in the Mishkan? What?
The Urios,
where did they sew the Urios? Where were the Urios sewn? Meaning, which part of the Urios were sewn? Urios are curtains. And curtains are bolts of fabric. And those are probably made on a loom. Those were woven, not sewn. Yeah.
Weren't the curtains strung up with
hooks?
Thread? Was it hooks?
They were hooks. The pasuk says hooks. Vavim la'amudim and krasim are the hooks. So where was their sewing in the construction of the Mishkan? What? The begadim. So that I'll say that might be a better answer. The only problem is begadim also are probably woven. You're saying even after you weave fabric into a bolt of fabric, you still have to sew it to, you know, it's lying flat on a table, now you have to sew the pieces together. That's true. I don't know why that hasn't been mentioned.
Weren't the furs on the top of the Mishkan sewn together?
That's going to be almost the answer. What were you about to say? Okay, so there were panels. I don't remember if they were the oros, if they were the oros, the leather things that were covering the top, or there were some other panels of fabric that were sewn together. If you look in the Pesukim in Truma and in Vayakel, talks about the covering of the Mishkan. Not the walls. The walls are made out of wood. Those are the krashim. The covering of the Mishkan was like a tent, so there was a fabric covering. There were three levels of covering, probably. Among the levels were Oros Tchashim, of a Tachash animal. What's a Tachash? Anyone know a Tachash? Have you ever seen a Tachash? Tachash animal? Tachash skins covered the top of the Mishkan? Tachash is a? Apparently Chazal have a record that's a one-horned animal. In English, a unicorn. Something to think about. There's a Chazal like that. So among the other, below the Tachash, were 11 strips of fabric. Each one was four amos wide. Let's say the width of this table times 11. How many amos is that? What's 11 times 4? 44. It was divided up into two groups, one of 5 and one of 6. between the group of five and the other five or six, I don't remember if it was five and five or five and six, between the two of them, let's use this as the seam, they were not sewn together. There were hooks on one side and loops on the other. 50 loops opposite 50 hooks that connected this section of the fabric to that section of the fabric. However, what connected these five bolts, or these five parts of the curtain to each other, and these five parts to each other, that's where we get sewing. The five different things were made four amos wide, let's see, on the loom. They were sewn to the next one, two, three, four bolts of fabric that were also made independently on the loom. So I had five bolts of fabric here. Then I had hooks and eyes, hooks and loops, connecting to the next group of five, which are also sewn together. So that's where the sewing took place in the Mishkan. If you want to look it up, it's in Truma, Parshas Truma, Perchav Vav, towards the end of Shmos, middle of Shmos. That is where we assume the sewing happened in the Mishkan. There's one problem. The problem is that the Yerushalmi, has an understanding of a pasuk that says that the Mishkan was made with one long piece, and they weren't strips that were sewn together. They were one long, gigantic, I guess they had a gigantic loom, maybe? Somehow they had one gigantic piece of fabric that was not made of strips that were sewn together. So according to the Yerushalmi, we can't say that the sewing was the strips, because according to the Yerushalmi, there were no strips. So back to our question, so where was the sewing in the Mishkan? So now we have to go for try two. Any other suggestions? I'll give you a hint. The hint is that all of you know the answer, you're just thinking too hard. Marga? Paroches was, as we said, was woven. It wasn't necessarily sewn. Everyone knows the difference between weaving and sewing, right? Weaving is on a loom, up, up, down, up, down, up, down. Sewing is take a needle, put it through, and put it back. Yeah? So that, I don't know why they don't mention that for some reason. You all know the answer. It's easier than you think, though. You're thinking too hard. What happens when you rip your clothes? You sew it up, right? So what happens if you have a whole bunch of curtains somewhere and they get a little hole in them? They have to be sewn up. That's all. It's as simple as that. The Gemara actually talks about cases where a little worm would eat through part of different things, either the wall or the curtain. So there, something would be, a hole would be made or tunneled into the curtain, so they'd have to sew it up. That's what we'd say according to the Shalmi. So we have two different sources of where Topher, where sewing took place, and that's just in terms of the background, in terms of where the Topher happened in the Mishkan. But now, let's come already into Halach L'Maaseh. Sewing, we're not going to sew on Shabbos. We can't do that. It's Asur D'oraisa, Chiyuv Skila. If you do it by mistake, it's Kareis. If you do it without warning, it's Kareis. If you do it by mistake, you have to bring Karban Chatas, which means that we shouldn't sew on Shabbos. But sewing is not just limited to what we normally think of sewing fabric with threads, and this is where the fun is going to start. The Rambam writes the following in Hilchas Shabbos Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Aleph. He says the following, Hamidabek, what's Hamidabek? What's Devek? Glue. Right, Devek is that's in the verb form. Devek is glue. Hamidabek, somebody who glues niarot, papers, or orot, or skins, leather, the kulan shel sofer. I'm not sure what the word kol or kulan is in the technical sense of the word, but it's some kind of glue that scribes would use, maybe to hold different pieces of parchment together. So if you glue niyarot or leathers together, v'chayotzibo, and similar to this, hareza, this is a tolda of tofer, and you're a chayav. Chayav is a code word for saying asur mide raisa. And of course, the inverse, the mirror of that, is that if you disattach things that were stuck together, either papers that were stuck together or letters that were stuck together, that's going to be korea. Korea, tearing, is the inverse, the sister malacha, the mirror malacha of tofer, of sewing. So if I glue anything together, that's going to be a malacha of daraisa of sewing. If I unglue it or disattach things that are glued together or attached together, that's going to be an issa daraisa of kareya. So what does that bring us to? What is the definition of the word tofer, of the malacha of tofer? How do we define tofer? So Mishnah Berurah did me a favor. In his commentary, if you have the Shulchan Aruch on top, Mishnah Berurah is on the bottom. So on the side, he has his Be'ur Halacha. Be'ur Halacha is where he has like mini essays, sort of like the Mishnah Berurah is just like the Halacha, Halacha, Halacha. When he wants to discuss something a little bit more in depth, he writes in the Be'ur Halacha. In the Be'ur Halacha, it's Simon Shin Mem, which is where sewing is mentioned. It's not a whole, there's no Simon, there's no full Simon about Tofer. It's just like three different halachas in Siman Shin Mem. So in Siman Shin Mem, the Mishnah Berurah says the following. He says, Tofer is lokeach shnei dvarim achadim. You take two distinct objects, umechaber osam leachad, and you unite them, you unify them into one. That's Tofer. Whenever you have two distinct entities, that you put them together such that they become one, that is Tofer. Let's come to real life now. If I, as we mentioned, glue papers together, that's tofer d'oraisa. If I staple papers together, that accomplishes the same thing. That's also going to be tofer. That's going to be sewing. If I tape papers together, that's going to be sewing. What happens if you glue or connect or, let's say glue, hard things together? Like wood, you take a piece of wood, another piece of wood, and you glue it together. So that's going to be a question. The Mishnah Berurah says that's also going to be tofer, which is funny. What would you think? What malacha do you think gluing wood together should be? Bona, yeah, you're building something. But for whatever reason, the Mishnah Berurah says it's sewing. It's sewing. Why? Because what's sewing? Taking this piece and making them one. That's what sewing is. In terms of when I put a Band-Aid on my finger, so we'll talk about Band-Aids later, other details of Band-Aids, but when I wrap a Band-Aid primarily around my finger, such that the edge of the Band-Aid attaches to the other edge of the Band-Aid and it's attached to itself, again, if I just run the Band-Aid along the length of my finger, it will probably fall off, but it's not attached to itself, that's going to be mutter. We'll learn about that another time. But if I run the Band-Aid around itself so that it's attached to itself in a ring, that's going to be exactly what we've been talking about, a sticker, sticking niyarot together, that's devek on of niyar, that's going to be tofer, that's going to be the halacha of sewing. One or two, and then I'll take your question. When you get to my stage of life, stickers are a very big part of your family. Yes, stickers are a very big part of the family. Part of it is like peeling them off the floor after they've been... If you ever come to my house, you'll notice these blotches of white that look like paper. They are. They're just, you try to peel them off soon enough, and if you don't get it, then people step on them and they become forever part of your dining room and living room floor. So sticky notes we'll have to talk about, not this week, maybe next week we'll talk about sticky notes. What about sealing an envelope? Sealing an envelope sounds to me like regular. Midabei Kaniya wrote exactly what the Rambam said. You're sticking a niyar together with glue, two pieces of paper, that would be tofer d'oraisa. Now, if you think about it, what is the isser? The isser is tofer. There's a story that is told, there are two stories, but I'll tell you one of them. Moshe Feinstein was once seen on a Tuesday, nothing to do with Shabbos, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. He was sending an envelope, and he stuck his finger into his mouth to moisten his finger, and then he ran the moisture from his finger over the gummy part of the envelope. So somebody was watching him much, says, ah, the Rav Shushiva holds that the glue, the flavor, the glue, is either flavored or not flavored, whatever, that glue is treif, and you can't lick it closed, right? And Rav said, well, not really, but a few years ago, I closed an envelope with my tongue and I cut my tongue, so I don't put it in my mouth anymore. So there's another story with Chalav Yisrael, same kind of story. The Ramosh was at a breakfast of some whatever, some function, and they pass him to pass the milk, and they pass him the milk, and he looks at it, he puts it down, and he took a different milk. He said, oh, Ramosh doesn't hold from the Hashgach, or doesn't hold from this, it was Chalav Yisrael, I don't know the details. He said, no, I looked at the date, and the date passed already, so wanted another. Anyway, it's good to learn from our Rebbeim, but it's important also to do it intelligently. So now, questions about this foundation of, again, this is the Av Malacha is real sewing, and the Tolda of the Malacha, Tolda Zarmid Asur Mide Oraisa. Tolda Zarmid Oraisa, Tolda just means it's the same exact thing, same exact Chiyav, Skila, Kareis, Karban Chatas. It just means it wasn't the same form. It's the same, you do the same act, but not in the same way that it was done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they sewed together. I'm getting the same goal, getting the same result, meaning two things are sticking together, but not in the same way they did in the Mishkan, which was through a needle and thread. This way, this time, the way I'm doing it is with some glue and paper. That's what a tolda is, and therefore a tolda is also midaraisa. All these things about sticking things together are toldas to the av malacha of sewing itself. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about permanence a little bit in 20 minutes, and then we'll talk about permanence even more next week.
So
if you would ask me, I would assume the stapling is considered permanent, and the proof to the pudding is, if you open up your parents' filing cabinets, you'll probably see things that have been stapled 30 years ago that are still stapled together. It is true you could take it apart, but that doesn't take away from its permanence.
So it's not about actually creating from two objects that are made one, but rather from taking two objects, even if they're still separate and distinct, and just keeping them stuck together.
I would say that if you have two papers and you staple them together, I could hear somebody arguing that would be making it into one book now.
Okay, so then let's take an example of how you have a stapler that can staple 30 pages, and you've got 31-page booklets. On the first 30 pages, you violate that iser. The 31st, though, doesn't actually stick to it fully, so it's going to fall off in 5 minutes.
That could be.
On the 31st page,
I mean, I think it's sort of a moot point, but yeah. You might not be. Right.
Okay.
Right. Yes. Chavid, you had a question? Okay. So no stickers on Shabbos. Any questions here? Okay. Let's talk about some things that also could apply, even though we don't sew things on Shabbos. Sometimes, as you're wearing clothes, sometimes a button comes loose and you have a string that's a little bit loose on your button, or so if you pull the string a little bit, it will be able to firm the button up so you'll be able to use it properly. Let's talk about that for 2 minutes. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, 74b, says the following. Somebody who stretches, who pulls a chut shel tfira, a thread of sewing on Shabbos, is chayev a korban chatas. That's a code word for aser d'oraisa. So if there's something that's sewn, and one string comes loose, and you pull that to tighten it, to make something taut, that is going to constitute an iser midoraisa. Accordingly, what happens if I have a button that got loose on Shabbos? So there are different things you could do. Sometimes you just sort of I usually just take the string and run it around the button. That will have to see if that's a problem or not. I have to think about that. But if it would be such a way that I would sort of pull the string to make it taut, or pull one of the strings probably from the back and pull it down to make it tight, that would be an Isur D'Oraisa of Topher. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, when it brings this halacha, brings another halacha, which brings us to a very interesting question. Another scenario where you have a string going through clothing to make something tight. Can anyone think of a string that goes through clothing that makes something tight that I see on many of your chairs? I see it on many of your chairs.
A drawstring
and a sweatshirt and a jacket. Listen to the following line in the Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll think about what do you say about tightening your drawstring of your jackets and your hoodie sweatshirts. Let's see. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Mem Sif Zayin. Again, I told you that Shin Mem, there's no real simon about Tofer, it's just assorted halachas in Shin Mem. This is one of the three, maybe four. Shulchan Aruch says the following. Those people who mehadkim, they pull tight, habgadim, saviv zra'otehem. Sort of imagine in the olden days, I think my daughter has one blouse like this. It's like a puffy sleeve that there's a drawstring around the bottom of the sleeve that makes it tight. So picture something like that. Those people who tighten the clothing that's around their arms, ayidei hachot, via a string that they pull tight and it tightens the blouse or the clothing around them, Also the matzah, it's prohibited to pull that string. That sounds a little bit scary if we stop there, but let's continue. Ela imke, unless it is that there are wide holes, a little bit, katzat, a little bit wide, and they are set, they are mitukan, with a circle. I don't really know what those words mean. I don't know exactly what kind of blouses or shirts or jackets or hoodies they wore in the olden days, but I'll tell you what all the poskim say. All the poskim say that when you have a string that goes through your hood or your hoodie, that's not part of a weave. It's not in any way part of a picture of a weave, right? The whole point is a weave or a fabric that's sewn. When you pull something and it tightens the beged, that's what the iser. When you have a drawstring that goes through a hood, there's like a separate channel, separate from the rest of the fabric. There's a separate channel with usually grommets. If you don't know what a grommet is, look at where the strings come out of your hoodie. And those are set holes with grommets. Even if the grommet isn't, the metal grommets aren't there, you still have a set channel. That string is not part of the rest of the beged. And therefore, all the poskim say there's absolutely nothing wrong. I'm sorry if I scared you. I'm not sorry if I scared you. That was my goal. There's absolutely nothing wrong with pulling the string of a hoodie, pulling the string of a hood, pulling the string of a, sometimes sweatpants have, or pajamas sometimes have those drawstrings. Those are going to be totally fine. And therefore, the thing that my daughter's blouse, if the way we have it is there's a separate channel through which the string is pulled, it's not part of the weave or part of the fabric itself, that will be totally mutter. However, if you ever are in a situation where there's a string coming out, especially if you have a sweater, or usually sweaters are where it happens most, because of the nature of the fabric, that there's one string that's a little bit, whatever, you want to pull it, tighten it, that will be tofer, possibly doraisa. So that's something that we have to be careful with. Yeah. Shoelaces are exactly, yeah, I think I saw somebody say your point. Just like shoelaces are totally fine because they're separate from the shoe and there are special places for them to go. It's totally fine. No one ever questioned that. It will be mutter, so to these. Yes. Okay, but that's not part of it. Yeah, that's just making it. That's kosher, which is a different malacha, which we'll learn sometime, hopefully. But you could tie your shoes on Shabbos. Yes. What is that? That's a great question. If a person has holy socks, right? Holy socks. So if you would sort of, if there'd be any threads that you would pull to take away the holiness, that would probably be asa d'oraisa. You're saying that would be korea? That would be the opposite, that would be tearing? I think if you wear something in it that has a hole, and but just by wearing it or moving your foot inside your shoe, that would cause it to be, that would probably be a, at worst, a psik resha that you don't want to happen on a drabanan, which is probably going to be mutter. So it'll probably be mutter. Yeah.
I don't know how off-topic this is. Historically, like back in the days of Rashi, before zippers and buttons existed, people were you had to sew yourself into your clothing.
Right. You sewed yourself into your clothing. That doesn't sound so good, because then...
Because that's what you have to do.
Okay, so. I have one problem with what you're saying. We had buttons. The Mishnayos talk about buttons. Mishnayos and Shabbos talk about, are you allowed to walk outside with a button? Are you allowed to attach things with buttons? Let me rephrase that. The Mishnayos talk about going outside on Shabbos with a button. That's a stone, mm-hmm. a button, that's some other thing. So it talks about buttons. So we know they had capes, meaning they'd have a shawl, and there'd be a button.
Is that the time of Mishnayos?
This is explicit Mishnayos in Masechet Shabbos, yes.
My only response to that, again, I know how topic this is, a lot of technology was lost back in the days of Rashi. Which is why you have stuff that the Romans had that...
Okay. I don't know. I guess the Jews always had it, because the Jews... Rashi knew the Mishnah, so Rashi definitely had buttons.
That's reasonable.
Yes.
I'm just not sure if it's the same thing as the buttons, in that it's not part of the weave, and it's not really buttoned on, so it's just a stitch, like the whole head.
Excellent question. You're asking that a button is also not part of the weave of the fabric. It's the difference between why a button string... that came loose is different than a drawstring in the hood, is because the button string is still supposed to be going, it's still part of the, you're right, it's not part of the weave. Yes, you're right. It is not part of the weave. But it's still supposed to be going through the actual fabric. as opposed to the drawstring, which is not going through the fabric, there's a channel there that it goes within the fabric. There's a place for it to move, but it's not part of the fabric. As opposed to the string for a bun, which is part of the fabric.
I'm also wondering, so any stitching that would be holding something else on your garment, like holding a hem together.
Excellent, yes. So if you have a stitching that become, right, so if you have a hem that's very loose and you want to pull that stitch to tighten it, that would be also daraisa.
Oh, exactly.
Yes. So what are you going to do? You're going to use a safety pin. That we'll have to talk about in about 10 minutes. Okay. Maybe less than 10 minutes. But Ariel brought up the concept of buttons. Let's talk about buttons and snaps and zippers. If we defined tofer, sewing, as taking two items and unifying them, so if you take a zipper, or if you take a snap, or buttons for that matter, aren't you unifying two things that are distant, disparate, separated? By buttoning them, by fastening them, by zippering them together, you making them into one. So shouldn't that be tofer? What? You're saying it's temporary. So if you, according to Shendi Hirsch, we have the Chumra of the year, Shendi Hirsch holds that you're not allowed to button anything that will be permanent, you're not allowed to zipper anything that will be permanent, and you're not allowed to snap anything that will be permanent, and therefore if you have a snap-off hood or a zipper hood that once you put on for the season, you could leave it there for months. If you have a lining inside your jacket, according to you, you're not going to be able to put on. According to you, if you have a quilt cover that has those buttons on the bottom that you leave, let's say, depends on how often you wash your quilt cover, we'll go there. let's say you leave it there for a week at least. So you're saying those things should all be awesome because even though you're allowed a button and you're allowed a zipper, but that's only for temporary things but not for permanent use. Oh, so you're saying something different now. You're saying not that you did an act that's going to be temporary. You're saying that by nature, the whole concept of zippering and buttoning and snapping is not the same as sewing. Sewing is, by definition, a permanent kind of way of dealing with fabric. And zippering, the whole point, the way there's a zipper there, the whole reason why they put a button there is because they knew that you want to put it on and off and not get sewn into your clothing. That's why they put on these zippers. So, for two reasons, we're going to see, I mean, it's obvious that you're allowed to zipper and button yourselves on Shabbos, but I'll just understand why that is. When you have something that's made to open and close, right? I got a jacket from Land's End, a winter coat from Land's End. And inside, there was something with, I don't know if it was written in Japanese, Chinese, or Korean, because I don't read either of them, but it was some kind of, you know, hieroglyphics from that part of the world. And then there were instructions on how to work the zipper. I'm like, wow, there must be some really cool, funky, you know, Land's End is like, cool, you know, it's cutting edge, sort of, okay, sort of. It's like technologically something or other, and maybe there's some cool zipper. And I read the instructions. I didn't really understand the instructions, but I looked at the zipper. It was just a regular zipper, just a two-way zipper. You know, it goes up and down, besides just going up. I don't know why they had to change. I don't know, maybe in China they don't have these things, and they had to translate it into Chinese or Korean for the people who don't know how to zip up and down. You understand what I mean with the two-way zippers? You know, two-way zippers. So what's the whole point of a zipper? The whole point of a zipper is that you should be able to open it and close it. By the virtue of the fact, and this is, I think, exactly what Shane is saying, by virtue of the fact that you're doing something so that you could open and close it, that by definition tells us that it's not unified. If the whole goal is to say that, if the whole Isser of Topher is to create a unified item, an item that is, you had two disparate items, distinct things, and you made them one by sewing them together, or by gluing them together, or stapling them together, or taping them together, well, by having a zipper there, the whole purpose of a zipper or a snap or a bun is specifically to not have that, not to create one thing, but rather to leave two things that are connected. But again, the word connected is not the Isser of Topher. Making one is the Isser of Topher. And by virtue of this not being something that you want to leave, that's going to make it not Topher, and therefore it will be Mutter. That's one reason. The second reason why zippers, buns, snaps are not going to be Aser is because, let me ask you the following. There's a concept that poskim use all over the place. We learned bona once. What's bona? Attaching, let's see, to a building, attaching an appendage to a building. That's a good, easy working definition of bona. So when I close a door, when I close a window, why isn't that bona? Until now there was an opening, I closed the door, and it clicked in, so it clicked in the latch. Even without locking, it clicked in the latch. I now attach this door, filled in the space that was open. Why is that not bona? Why is closing the door not bona? And the inverse, why isn't opening the door the mirror malacha, the sister malacha, the twin malacha of bona, which is soter, of dismantling? I open the door, I'm dismantling the house. When I close the door, I'm building a house. Why does no one say that? Why is that definitely okay? Exactly. Derech tashmisho bekach. Those are the three words that the poskim use all over the place. Derech, it's the way. Tashmisho, of the use. Bekach, this is the way it's used. This is the way it's used. You're not building a house, you are? Thank you. Using a house. So too, when you zip up a shirt, when you zip up a sweatshirt, you're not making a sweatshirt, you are using your sweatshirt. What does Asur do on Shabbos? Making things is the problem on Shabbos. Many of the malachas are making things. They're creative malachas. When we talk about bona, when we talk about tofer, you're making something, you're creating something. That's the malacha. When you're just using something, that's not going to be the definition of the malacha. And therefore, since zippers are how something is used, not how something is made, manufactured, created, that's why it is permitted, even though it's obvious to us, but that's why it's permitted to zip and to snap and to button on Shabbos, even if they will be, not like Shandy said, even if they will be permanent. Even if it will be permanent for the two reasons that we just mentioned, A, that the whole very reason why you have a zipper or a snap or a button there is to show you don't want them to become unified, you want them to be separate, and B, because that's just the way this item is used, for those two reasons, therefore it is permitted to zip up the insulation inside a jacket that you're going to leave there for the whole season, to snap on or to zip on the hood of your winter coat, or to bun the buns on the edge of your quilt cover, and you're going to leave it there for a long time. And all those things, even though they are pretty much permanent, it will be mutter because it's only a zipper or a button or a snap. Any questions about zippers, buttons, snaps that we're saying halacha ma'aseh? You could leave them there even for a long time because it's just not the malacha of sewing. It's not the malacha of tofer. Yeah.
Couldn't it be makabipatish?
Excellent question. You're saying maybe it's makabipatish, and therefore makabipatish is putting the finishing touch on something. The reason why it's not Makkah B'Patish is because Makkah B'Patish is always in the creation of the thing. When you manufacture something, it's the last step of the manufacturing it. When it's something that it's already manufactured, it's just how I use it, that's not going to be Makkah B'Patish. So even though you'll argue, when it comes to a quilt cover, you're saying, when does the quilt cover reach its, you know, full whatever? When you actually shove the quilt inside, you snap it closed, or you button the buttons on the bottom, and now the quilt stays there and it's not going to fall out. That's the end of it? No. It was a finished quilt cover. It hasn't been used. The way you use it is by buttoning it, but it's already been a fully made quilt cover. Maybe attaching the snaps might be considered the finishing touch of creating a quilt cover, but it's already a fully made quilt cover. Now the buttoning and the snapping of the quilt cover is just the use of something that is fully made already. That's why it's not Makkah B'Patish. Excellent question. Yeah, any other questions on this point? Okay, now we're going to get to the main part of the shiur, and that's safety pins. Safety pins are vital, right? Safety pins, if you ever go to a wedding, and you go to the bathroom, the ladies' room, I assume, and they have a little container there. If you go to a hall that doesn't have that little container of safety pins, you know it's not a classy place. Any classy place has to have that little thingy with safety pins. Fine. So I want to tell you a little bit about somebody by the name of Nisanel Weil, and you'll see why it's important to know who he was in a moment. Nisanel Weil, W-E-I-L-L, Weil. Okay. In Jewish, it's Weil. So Nisanel Weil was he wrote a wonderful commentary on the Rosh, on the commentary of the Rosh. called the Korban Nesanel, after himself, like most Sfarim are. The Korban Nesanel was written by Rav Nesanel, who is the assistant Rav in Prague. And apparently in the year 1744, what happened to the Jews in Prague? They were chucked out by a nice lady named Maria Theresa. I guess she was the queen or the princess or somebody or other. She expelled the Jews in 1744. And he moved to somewhere else, to some other place in Germany, Austro-Germany, Prussia, something like that, and became the Rav there. Why is it important to know that he lived in Prague and he was the Rav in Prague until they were thrown out? For the following. Let me share with you the following Korban Nesanel. Korban Nesanel says the following. We know that sowing is a malacha, but when the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to sow, it adds a few words. It says you're not allowed to sow shnei tefirot, two stitches. Let me just explain to you with my hands what two stitches are. I have two pieces of fabric that I want to sew together. Okay? When I put a needle through the two pieces of fabric one time, that's called one stitch. When I now make a 180-degree curve with that needle and go back into the two pieces of fabric from the opposite direction and go through the fabric again, that's the second stitch. Okay? So when we talk about, you might have, before you came to the shiur time, you might have thought, called that one stitch until now. Now you know that this is what we call two stitches. Going through two pieces of fabric and coming back down into the same two pieces of fabric, that's called two stitches. And that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that tofer is only also if there are two stitches. Midoraisa. Says the Korban Nesanel, but it's fair to assume that if it's aser midoraisa, if there are two stitches, if there's one stitch, it should at least still be aser midrabanan. With that in mind, ask the Korban Nesanel. I don't understand. He asks, any of you have shteknadels? Shteknadels? Yeah, I guess. That's probably Yiddish or German or Prussian or something for a pin. Did you know that from somewhere? It's a needle, yeah. Okay. So he says, why are people nohag to put shteknadels into their clothing? After all, it's two insertions. Meaning, if I have my hem, okay? Let's say this is my pants, or in your case, a skirt. So I'm going to do the outside out, inside out. So I have this... bottom thing is the hem that's supposed to be attached to the fabric behind it. So what do? I take my shteknadel. It's Shabbos, so you can't sew it on, right? So you take your shteknadel, otherwise known as a pin, safety pin or some other pin, and you stick it in. Now, if you just stick it once through, what's going to happen? One of two things. Either it will fall out or it will stab you if you're doing the wrong direction. You don't want to get stabbed, and nor do you want it to fall out. So what do? You stick it in once, there. I'm at the other side. Does anyone have a pen? I could be graphic. Okay. Stick this in here. It's going to fall out if I just leave it like that. We'll come back in the opposite way. I stuck the shteknadel, and now this hem is going to be held up for the rest of Shabbos, right? Sorry, the shteknadel will hold up the hem for the rest of Shabbos. Is that what I said? Fine. So asks Rav Korban Nesanel, how can we do this? After all, what did I just say was the two stitches? Going through the two pieces of fabric, right? Here's the two pieces of fabric. Going through once, and then coming in the other side, in the opposite direction another time, that should be tofer, asks the Korban Nesanel. And secondly, or just the same point, why do the women in Prague, asks the Korban Nesanel, now you know why it's important to know where he lived, because he was the Rav of Prague, why do they attach their schleier. I don't know what a schleier is. Even Shandy doesn't know what a schleier is. Why do they attach the schleier with needles? After all, it's two tkifos, two in, of these insertions, of these stickings. That's the question of the Korban Nesanel. Now, what do we see from this Korban Nesanel? What does he hold about using pins? Thumbs up or thumbs down? He says, why do people do this? So that presumably means you can't do it. And he just doesn't understand why all the women in his shul, or in his town, do it. But it's not just the women. The first question was just the shteknadels of people in general. The second question is about the women with the schleiers. So apparently, people are were Noheg in the early 1700s in Prague. Prague was a very religious, you know. Prague had Rabbanim, Prague had genuine Jewish leaders who could tell people this is okay, this is not okay, but yet the minhag seemed to be that people stuck things through. And therefore the Korban Islam's opinion is that it is prohibited to stick a needle into clothing on Shabbos to hold things together, to hold a hem, and therefore safety pins, says the Korban Islam, should be prohibited on Shabbos. This Korban Islam is cited in the Mishnah Brura, and he says it's only also Rabbanon, but people who stick their cries into their, whatever the cries is, I don't know what a cries is, using a needle with two of those, I don't want to call them stitches because there's no thread involved. What are we going to call them? Insertions? With a double insertion, you understand what I mean? One way and then back on the other side. Two insertions with a needle is also according to the Korban Islam, cited in the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, so that's a big chumrah. Because that means if you have a hem problem on Shabbos, you're going to stay with a hem problem on Shabbos. However, comes the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish, all the way from Bnei Brak, who typically comes to give chumras to us, gives us not only a kula, but he says, I don't even understand anything could be possibly a problem with a machat, with a needle, and a safety pin. Says the Chazon Ish, that you know what a needle going into clothing is like? It's like using a hook and an eye. It's a hook. Why is a hook? Everyone agrees you could hook something on something, right? You take, we talked about in the Mishkan, they hook things on. No one says that hooking is a problem. But hooking is, okay, you could have a hook with a needle that, you know, you know the doors in camp. Maybe in your bedroom, in your house, you don't have a real door on your lock on your door, but you have, like, for your bedroom, just one of those hook and eye, they're called, hook and eye. So, of course you could do that on Shabbos. Says the Chazon Ish, that's exactly what a safety pin does. What could be wrong with that? Not only that, but what did the Korban Islam say? Did the Korban Islam say, it's aser? The Korban Islam said, I don't understand why people do this, and why the women do that. Did he say it's also to do? He just was saying the opposite. He was saying that what was the minhag in Prague? The minhag in Prague is that they did do it. He didn't know why. Okay, a lot of people don't know a lot of things. But he didn't know why people do it, but the minhag is that they did do it. And the Chazon Ish points out that Prague had some big people who would scream if they would, you know, there were Gaonim Adirim that would certainly, you know, protest if there was such an issue in the time Prague in the early 1700s. And then he says something interesting. He says, maybe we could argue, then this will be a discussion again that we'll talk about next week in more in depth, but maybe this is called Tofer Lizman, temporary sewing. Now you have a pin just to hold a hem in so the hem doesn't fall. So that's temporary sewing. And temporary sewing is a mutar aser. We actually pass on that it's aser. Temporary sewing is aser. Even if it's just for a short amount of time, but if you're sewing, it's aser. Says the Chazon Ish, but that's only that which we're machmir to prohibit temporary sewing is only when it's actually real sewing with a thread and a needle. Once you get out of the realm of real thread and a needle, real sewing, then temporary sewing is not going to be aser. And therefore the Chazon Ish says, I'll tell you his words, no one ever argued on this point, and this is what the minhag is, the ein lahachmir klal uklal, there's no reason to be machmir whatsoever. Safety pins are mutter, period. Short term, long term, forever. My son had a pair of Shabbos pants that I guess were hemmed, the hem came out, and we put pins in it to keep the hem in. And they've been there for 4 months, 5 months, and they're still there. So what does that show you? I mean, that's not temporary. But says the Chazon Ish, mutar to do lichatchila on Shabbos without any questions. Comes from Moshe Feinstein, and he says the following. He was asked about diapers. Now, not diapers like you and I know. We know Pampers. He's talking about diapers, you know, cloth and safety pins. What about diapers that you wrap a baby al yaday pe yud nun? Pin, with a pin, safety pin. And similarly, what about the tachshitin that the women attach to their bigdayim al yaday pin? A brooch, right? A person has a brooch that they sort of insert in their clothes on Shabbos. Could they do it on Shabbos? Is that tofer? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, it is mutter lechatchila. Why? I'll share with you the two rationales, and we'll pretty much finish with this. The two rationales that Rav Moshe Feinstein says is the reason why you're allowed to use pins, safety pins, diaper pins, brooch pins on Shabbos itself. First of all, and he sets down these two ideas that are very fundamental to defining what the melacha of tofer is, and because of these definitions, you'll see that safety pins don't fit into the melacha of tofer. The goal of tofer, as we sort of mentioned but didn't focus on enough half hour ago, is that you take two things and you make them one. When I say one, I mean really one. You unify something. When you take something that's sewn, if you have a tear in your clothing, and you sew it together, it looks like, I mean, it should look like there was never any tear there. I had a pair of suit pants. Why am I saying that? Because if you lose the pants, then you lose the jacket too, which is a big chaval. So I got a tear on the leg in a place that was visible. I figured I'll bring it to a tailor. Hopefully he'll be able to, you know, figure out a way to make it, sew it up so it'll be somewhat innocuous, and then I don't have to throw out the whole suit, jacket, and pants. And I take it to, one of the local tailors here, and he closed it up very nicely, but the way he did it, there was so many stitchings, it was like very clear and evident that there used to be a big hole there, and now there's a patch there. I guess if you live in this neighborhood, it's cool to have patches on your clothing, not on navy blue suits, that's the only problem. So I just threw it out recently. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein that when you have a sewing that turns the item, the two things, into one unified organic whole, that's tofer. But when you use a safety pin, you're connecting, you're not turning two things into one. And therefore, safety pins don't qualify as the definition of tofer. Let me just add one point the way he says it. The point of sewing tofer, the malach of tofer, is that you make the two parts of the clothing kebeged echad mamish, like one piece of clothing, like it used to have been sewn, like it was woven. It was woven as one piece, it got a tear in it, or you want to have two pieces that go together. So you connect them so much so they're not just connected, they are one in the sense of you could never have guessed that they weren't actually woven on the loom at the same time. That's the whole point of sewing. That's one reason why safety pins don't do that. They connect something, but they don't make it as though it's one piece. Secondly, a separate and independent point which shows that safety pins are okay and also sheds light on what the definition of tofer. We mentioned that there are some mirror malachas, sister malachas. What do we have? We have bona and soter, building and dismantling. We have kosev, writing, and what? Mochek, erasing. That's painting, right? There's no opposite of painting, which is interesting. What else do we have that are sister malachas? Yes, igniting a fire, mavir and mechab, extinguishing. That's six already. Yeah, we said. That's three and four, riding and racing. What?
Tying.
Yes, kosher and matir, tying and untying. Here we have tofer, sewing and korea, and ripping. That's at least 10 malachas at least five sets or 10 malachas, I think there's another one or two, that are sister or mirror malachas. Now, is there any correlation between the two, or do each of the ones in the set have different parameters? Meaning, is the halacha of kosher, of I can't tie, the same, or the inverse, as the things that I can't untie? Or tying has its halachas and untying has its halachas? No, that's not true. Whatever I'm not allowed to tie is what I'm not allowed to untie. If I'm allowed to tie a bow on Shabbos, I'm allowed to untie a bow on Shabbos. Whatever is not considered writing on Shabbos is not going to be considered erasing on Shabbos. That we talked about when we learned the halachas of cutting cakes with letters on top. Or when we talked about opening a book that has lettering on the, not on the spine of the book, but on the pages. And we talked about opening them, which would take apart a word, and close them, would that be considered to hold writing a word? That was when we talked about writing. Similarly, says Rav Moshe, the same will apply here. Would anyone say that when you take a safety pin out, you ripped the clothing, you ripped the hem? If you pulled out that pin that I just put in, you remove the safety pin, would anyone call that ripping, korea? We wouldn't call that ripping, and if we don't call it ripping, it also will not be called sewing. That's what Moshe Feinstein says. Those two reasons are why safety pins are going to be completely permitted. And then, and with this, I think we could just about finish. He adds one point. He says, let's say you want to be machmir. You remember the Korban Hasanel, the rabbi in Prague, who says, I don't understand how people do that. If you want to be machmir, like that Korban Hasanel, says Moshe, you know what you could do? The Chazrish said, don't be machmir at all. Just go ahead and use pins however you want for as long as you want on Shabbos. The Moshe says, if you want to be machmir for that Korban Hasanel, be machmir for something that's absolutely permanent. I mean, if you plan on fixing that hem that broke on Shabbos, that fell out on Shabbos, and putting a pin there and leaving it there for good, if you want to be machmir, you could take it out, put it in, take it out, put it in 12 times as long as you want on Shabbos. Leave it there forever, that's also fine. If you want to be machmir for that stringent opinion of the Korban Hasanel from Prague, so avoid doing something with a pin that will be permanent. If you're going to put a brooch in your shirt or your blouse or your jacket or your whatever, and you can leave it there forever, if you want to be machmir on that permanent insertion. But anything that's going to be temporary, there's nothing to be machmir at. You could use safety pins, you could use pins, you could insert brooches, without question, lichat chila, nothing to talk about. Even permanent is really mutter, but if you want to be machmir, you're welcome to be. And therefore, that is the halacha, the bottom line halacha, that safety pins are mutter. If you want to be machmir, you're welcome not to do things permanently with them, but they are mutter. I want to finish with one point, and that is Velcro. Does anyone know where the word Velcro comes from? Because the source of the word Velcro is the answer why it is or isn't tofer. Velcro, and you could check me up after this year, is some sort of a combination of two words. I'll start with crow. Crow, you know? Exactly. Crow is from the word crochet, which means probably like French for hook. And vel is from velours, which is velvet. It's hooks and velvet. Basically, Velcro is, like you just said, Ariana, they're not microscopic, but they're hooks and eyes. And therefore, are you allowed to attach hooks and eyes? 100% on Shabbos. And therefore, of course, that's why Velcro is mutter. And so Velcro, it's obvious, I just thought it would be interesting to know the etymology of the word. And therefore, Velcro is, of course, mutter, and safety pins are going to be mutter. And Bez Hashem, next week, we're going to have to talk about things that are temporary things that are not, you know, sort of tying things together for short amounts of time. Will that be considered a malacha or not? For example, we'll have to talk about sticky notes. Sticky notes. We'll have to talk about diapers. Diapers have two issues. They have more than two issues. They have korea, ripping, when you sort of open the tabs. There's tofer, when you close the tabs. And then when you undiaper the baby, there's another korea maybe. And then there's another tofer if you tie it up afterwards. That's something that we'll talk about Bezos Hashem next week. Yes, you could buy share and co-share diapers. Yes. Okay, have a wonderful evening. That was it.